We're in week two of this series called It's Real. Last week, Kim just brought the house down with a powerful message about the Word of God. Amen? I mean, if you didn't hear that word, if you weren't here or you didn't watch it, you need to get back there and see it. Get back, go online and watch that message. Powerful word. In fact, this week's message is called Heaven, It's Real. And I actually thought about, because that message was so strong and so powerful, I thought about walking out here going, hey everybody, heaven, it's real, and then just walk off and then let's go eat lunch, you know what I mean? Because it was that good. I mean, if you really understand and truly believe that this is the truth, that this is the Word of God, and every word that He spoke in here, that He breathed into this is true, then you would believe everything He said about heaven, amen? So I'm going to give you some things today about it, because there's some of us in here that you've never heard what Jesus said about heaven. You never heard what He said about this real place called heaven. So I want to explore that for the next few minutes. So I want you to turn to two scriptures, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 27. I know that's a lot of verses, and I've got a lot of scripture today, so I'm going to move as quickly as possible through this, because I want to get to the points of what Jesus is trying to bring to our attention this morning. Revelation 21, put a marker there, and then go to Colossians chapter 3, okay? And we're going to read that right now. So Revelation 21, then go Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And if you have the YouVersion app on your phone or your device, you can pull up YouVersion right now. A lot of the notes are there. You can read along with me. All right, Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this, since you have been raised to new life with Christ... Let me say it again. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, who is a follower of Jesus Christ in this place? Raise your hand. Amen. All right, so that's you. That's me. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Let me just stop right there and say that how many of you have heard the saying before, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Anybody ever heard that before? So heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I would say, according to this scripture, that saying is backwards. I think too many of us are so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Or we're so earthly minded, we're no good in the kingdom of God. We don't understand what God can do, what He desires to do, what He wants to do, because our sights are set here on this earth. So this is what He's saying. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. Okay, so Satan has launched an all-out attack on the reality of heaven. He has slithered into the hearts and the minds of people with a vision that leads them away from the truth of God's word, that heaven is a real place. He has attacked the significance of the word heaven to diminish its power and to destroy our belief in the reality of heaven. Many people now believe that heaven is not an actual place, but a state of mind. And I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about in the church. There are many people in the church that believe heaven is just a state of mind. The enemy has used media and pop culture to attack the truth of God's word about heaven. There are many commercials, cartoons, movies, and songs that mock the realities of heaven. Many of you have seen the cream cheese commercials. How many of you have seen those before? I won't say the company, but the cream cheese commercials that are out there. Most of us do not pay attention to the sacrilege of the language used in these commercials. We just brush it off as it's innocent and it's harmless. But we don't understand the power that these words have when we listen to them over and over again, when we sing the songs and things like that. You know, John Lennon sang a song, "Imagine There's No Heaven. It's easy if you try." And I don't know about you, but I've heard that song probably 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. I've sang that song before. I sang those words before, not realizing what I was allowing into my mind and what was coming out of my mouth. Because of this relentless attack of the enemy on truth and the overall complacency of the church to guard the truth, these days, more people find it easier to imagine there is not a heaven than to imagine there is. I will tell you this, Without a prophetic vision, it is easier to imagine there's no heaven than to imagine there is. Did you hear that? Without a prophetic vision, it's easier to imagine heaven doesn't exist than to imagine it does. There are many other reasons people find it difficult to get a handle on heaven. For one thing, heaven is hard to put into words. There are things that exist in heaven that we have never seen before with our eyes. We've never experienced before. So if we are earthly focused, then earth is the only frame of reference that we have. So it's not surprising then that we would try to imagine heaven on earthly terms and with earthly vision, because our focus is so here on this earth. But the only way to imagine heaven is in heavenly terms. We have to get a prophetic vision of heaven in order to see what God wants us to see about heaven. So today I'm going to tell you three things that you need to know about heaven. Okay, three things. First thing, heaven is a place of royalty. Heaven is a place of royalty. You can only enter into heaven if you have royal blood. How many of you knew that? You have to have royal blood to get into heaven. Colossians 3:1, what I just read to you, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. God is sitting on his throne in heaven, and Jesus Christ, his only son, is sitting at his right hand, which is the place of honor. To sit at the king's right hand is the place of honor. So Jesus is royalty. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is the scripture I told you to hold. We'll get there in a moment. But Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, look at this. It says, "Then I looked, and I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.' And instantly I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled the throne like a rainbow. 24 elders surrounded him, and 24 elders' thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder, and in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third like a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is still to come.' Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created them, or because you created what you pleased.'" Now, I want to stop here before we go on to the next scripture that I have about this, but I want to point out one thing. This is a description of the throne room in heaven, a beautiful description of things we've never seen before with our own eyes, with our natural eyes. But the very last scripture that I read here is so powerful and important because it describes the throne room of God. It describes where Jesus sits at the Father's right hand. It describes the 24 elders and the four living beings that have eyes all over their bodies. But one of the most beautiful things in this whole passage of scripture we can easily miss if we don't take a closer look. Verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power." Now watch, "For you created" what? "All things, and they exist because you created" what? "What you pleased." Now listen to this. What does the enemy do to us? The enemy comes to us over and over again. And Carolyn was just talking about this when she came up with that wonderful word this morning. The enemy will come to us and try to beat us down with lies about who we are and who God created us to be. But we have to remind ourselves that in the throne room of God, day and night, night and day, these four living beings are worshiping God, and the elders fall down and throw their crowns at his feet, and they declare, they make this declaration that he is worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for he created all things, and they exist because he created what he pleased. You are here because God created what he pleased. He is pleased with you. You are pleasing in the sight of God. Think about that. The creator of all things, the God of this universe, is pleased with you. He's not pleased with you because of what you do. He's not pleased with you because how hard you work. He's not pleased with you because you earned it. He's pleased with you because he created you exactly as he desired to create you, and he's pleased with that. There's so many people in this place, I need to say this to myself more often. You need to remind yourself, God is pleased with me. He created me. He's pleased with me. Because the enemy will come to you and lie to you over and over again and beat you down with these lies to tell you you're not enough. You don't measure up. You know that you're a failure, that you have so many faults and you just don't look right and all of these different things. I mean, we will chase after these things throughout with this earthly vision. We'll chase after these things to try to measure up to other people, right? How many of you have done that before? You chase after things. Come on, y'all. We compare. I remember a message that Michael Miller gave a couple years ago, powerful message, and when he was here at Outpouring, and it was that, I think that Sunday is when he gave the message about comparison. Don't compare yourselves to those around you. As a church, he said to us, River Church, don't compare yourself to other churches. You're going to be unlike any other church. You're going to be who God created you to be. And that's true for us as a body, and it's also true for us personally. God created you, Joe, God created you personally unique. There's no other Joe like you on this planet. Thank God. Who said thank God? Was that your wife? No, it wasn't. There's no, you know, you're unique, and you're uniquely created because you please God. He has a mission for you. He has a calling for your life that only you can fulfill because he only created one of you. I don't care if you have an identical twin, you're still unique. And you can't miss this today. So often, don't miss this. If you don't get anything else, don't miss this. So often, we miss that God created us unique, special, each one of us, for a special calling. I've said this for years, that there is a circle of influence that you and only you can have. There's a circle of people that you will minister to, that you will reach, because God called you and created you to do that. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this, for he has rescued us out of darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into his kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14, look, who bought our freedom with his what? Blood, and forgave all of our sins. He bought our freedom with his blood. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This place called heaven is real, and only those with royal blood can go there. And you have royal blood because Jesus purchased you as his very own. He bought you back. He redeemed you and gave you the royal blood that flows through his veins. Amen? And this will change everything. It will change everything for you if you realize this. I walked around this earth for so many years feeling like I was broken, thinking I was broken, understanding that I wouldn't mount up, and because I believed the lies of the enemy. But the moment that God changed my heart and life with this realization that I am royalty and he bought me with his royal blood, I don't walk around anymore with my head hung down low. I walk around with my head held high knowing that I am royalty just like my Savior Jesus. Amen? And you can do the same thing. You know, I'm going to mention somebody today, and I don't really care what anybody thinks, but Joel Osteen, he has taken so much criticism So much criticism. I hate it when the body of Christ devours their own. Hate it. I don't care what you think about him and what you've read about him and what you've seen him or heard him say. You don't know his heart. So stop it. We'll talk about judgment later, but stop that, okay? But I just want to tell you this. If he's doing one thing that God's called him to do, is he's doing this very thing. He's reminding people that they're royalty. He's reminding people. They say, well, all he has is encouraging messages. Oh, that's terrible. That's just terrible. That's just terrible that he just encourages you all the time. Yeah, he's horrible. I can understand why you don't like him. Maybe you have a problem with him because there's something in you that's broken. And maybe you need to listen a little bit closer and you need to open your spiritual eyes and look at the realities of heaven. Because one of the things I see him doing is just proclaiming the goodness of God and proclaiming the majesty of the Creator God. That he created you special and unique. That you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That God knits you together in your mother's womb. He might know what he's doing. Okay, that wasn't anywhere in my notes, but that's Holy Spirit right there, all right? Somebody needed to hear that today. And not just Joel Osteen, but anybody else that you criticize for that matter. Stop it. Criticism is a sin. Woo! Well, it's constructive criticism. Oh, yeah? I call that constructive gossip is what I call that, or right? Is there any such thing? Second thing you need to know about heaven, heaven is rust-free. Amen. Hallelujah. In Michigan, that's a big deal right now, right? Heaven is rust-free. How many got some salt on their car right now? I've got a 20-year-old vehicle I'm driving, and it still doesn't have any rust on it. I think that's a miracle right now, don't you? Come on. That's a miracle. That's a supernatural work of God here in Michigan. I don't even wash it that much. Matthew 6:20 says this, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. That's good news, isn't it? What does not exist in heaven? Have you ever thought about that? No, because we're too busy thinking about what exists here. Thank you, baby. Got one amen from my biggest fan. Sorry about that. What does not exist in heaven? Well, this is what's not in heaven. There's no rust, no thieves, no sickness, no sorrow, no sadness, no suffering, no sin. Thank you, Jesus. No striving, no death, no poverty, no crying, no pain, no anxiety, no fear, no loneliness, no depression, no darkness. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what else is not in heaven? There's no pop quizzes. There's no stinky feet. And there's no country music. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout for a minute. I'm just kidding, country music fans. Jesus, take the wheel. Seriously, though. There's no pharmacies, there's no sirens, there's no hospitals, there's no COVID-19. There's no insurance, there's no funeral homes, there's no cemeteries, there's no curse. Hallelujah! There's no clocks, there's no calendars, there's no cell phones. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's no time, so honey, you'll never be late again. She's saying there's no annoying husbands. Heaven is truly a rust-free place. And I could go on and on, but I hope that just for a moment it spurs something in your heart and your mind to set your sights on the realities of heaven, of what's not in heaven. And it brings, again, a powerful point that I'm going to bring home. I'm sure you already made the connection, but I'm going to do it for those of you like me that need a little help. Remember that Jesus said, pray this. Pray, Father, let your kingdom come. Where's his kingdom? In heaven. And your will be done. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants heaven to overtake earth. He wants heaven to override earth. He wants heaven to trump earth. He wants heaven to take authority on earth, not the other way around. Too often what's happening is earth is overtaking heaven. Earth is trumping heaven because our sights are set on the realities of earth instead of the realities of heaven. And so we live so earthly focused that we don't realize that there's such a powerful, amazing, enormous realm that God wants to establish here on earth. The third thing you need to know is heaven is real. Somebody look at somebody else, say it's real. Heaven is real. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says this. Jesus said, and this is in the complete Jewish Bible version, he said, don't let yourselves be disturbed. Trust in, that is the Greek word pistoio. And it actually means you can take it to the bank. Trust in. With all of your heart, you can trust this. Trust in God and trust in me. In my Father's house are many places to live. If there weren't, listen, this is Jesus. If there weren't, I would have told you. Because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And since I am going to prepare a place for you, I will return to take you with me so that where I am, you may also be. Listen to what he's saying. Jesus is saying, you can trust this. You can trust the word I'm giving you. Like he has to tell us that. Why would Jesus say that? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about why would Jesus say it? Trust in, pistoio, in me, and trust in, pistoio, my Father. You can take this to the bank. You can trust the word I'm telling you here today. There's something important that comes after this when Jesus says to his disciples and says to us, because for thousands of years we've read this, trust in this, trust in the word I'm about to give you. And I believe that when Jesus said this, I believe that the creator of all things who knows the beginning from the end, I believe that he knew that people were going to question the realities of heaven. So he said, you can trust me when I'm telling you this. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare yours, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to pick you up and take you to where I am. There's something powerful about this, because the attack from the enemy is to minimize or to completely destroy the realities of heaven in our hearts and in our minds so that we don't believe in it. Heaven itself is not merely a figure of speech or a spiritual concept or a state of mind. This is a lie from the enemy. And there's this lie from the enemy that says that the description of heaven in the Bible is just metaphoric. That God doesn't really mean what he says he says in there. That it's just a metaphor. It's really not a reality. But this is nothing new from Satan. He's been doing this and launching this attack against the truth of God's word from the very beginning. Eve told the serpent, she told Lucifer that God said, if you eat of the fruit, you will die. And what did Lucifer, the serpent, say back to her? You will surely not die. He was launching attack against the word of God, against the truth of God's word. Because if he can get you to question this, then you just one piece of this, if he just gets you to question one scripture in here, then you start questioning the whole thing. And then it leads you to a place where the things that he's telling you to trust in, you don't trust in anymore. You don't believe anymore. What kind of pride has to build up inside of us that we start to think we know more than God? What type of pride has to build up in us that we start to discount his word? We start to say that, well, it can't really mean that. Even though Jesus said, trust in me, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There are many rooms here. You're going to come live in this place. What kind of pride builds up in us that we start to go, no, that can't really mean that? There's deceit that is built in our hearts to make us think that. And I'm telling you the description of heaven is real. And I'm going to show it to you right now. Revelation chapter 21. I told you to turn there. Look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. Could I just have a bottle of water real quick? Thank you. This is a long scripture. I need to get a drink before I read this. Thank you very much. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 27. It says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life, and all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Just a little commercial. Next week, hell. It's real, so don't miss that. Verse 9, one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come with me, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were three gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a golden measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. And when he measured it, he found it was square, as wide as it is long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. One estimate, just for a second before I go on, one estimate of the total number of humans that have ever lived on this planet puts the figure somewhere around 106.5 billion people. For the sake of understanding the size of this square of heaven, okay, if we assume that each and every one of us gets a place in the city, all right, Jesus promised us that, didn't he? He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you." So if each of us gets a place in the city, that leaves enough room for everyone that has ever lived on this planet, okay, to have a house that is 1,500 feet on each side, or 2.25 million square feet on each level and around 150 stories tall. Did you even comprehend what I just said there? Because I don't think I comprehended it. And I've read it many times. Let me read that. Let me just say it to you again. Each one of us, if every single person who's ever lived on this earth accepted Jesus and accepted the gift of his free salvation, the blood that he purchased you with, and you follow Jesus, okay, and you go to heaven, then each one of us would have a house that was 1,500 feet wide and long and tall, 1,500 feet. That means it's 2.25 million square feet. 150 stories tall. I mean, you could have some family dinners over there, I think. Right? Party at my house. Everybody, the whole earth, come to my house. That's crazy to me. And this is just a small picture of heaven. And then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to human standard used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on a foundation, on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. Now, just for a second, if you want to see two of those stones, I have them with me today. I have jasper and agate with me. I happen to be a stone collector. They call them rock hounds. I polish stones. I collect them. And I have jasper and agate with me. And so afterwards, in the Welcome Center, if you want to see what those look like and kind of just a glimpse of what the foundation stones will look like, you can do that. For the rest of these precious stones, you might need to go see like Dion over at Lawrence Jewelers. He could show you the rest of these precious stones. I'm sure he'd be glad to show them to you. I'm sure he'd be glad to let you take some home for a small fee. It is Valentine's Day today. Happy Valentine's, by the way. Huh? Go see Dion at Lawrence Jewelers. I sound like a radio show right now. Did I say go see Dion at Lawrence Jewelers? Lawrence Jewelers, 24th Avenue. Fort Gratiot. Free coffee. Okay, I'm sorry. The 12 gates, verse 21, the 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. Do you remember how big they said the gates were? They're huge. And each gate is a single pearl. Has anybody seen a pearl that large before? Each gate, one pearl. It's amazing. The main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Yeah, can you just feel the Lord right there? Come on. And the city has no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Who are the kings of the world? Who's royalty in this place? Raise your hand if you're royalty. That's you. The kings of the world will walk into this city in all its glory. Do you see what Jesus is saying to you? If nothing else today, I just feel this from Holy Spirit, I got to say it again. If nothing else, please walk out of this place believing that you are special, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are amazing in God's sight, that He created you unique. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you again about who you are and about who God created you to be. Verse 25, its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. Let me read this real quick. The angel of the Lord showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street, and on each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. And the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Kim believes that the leaves for the healing of the nations is pizza. Sounds good to me. You know what I mean? No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and His servants will worship Him, and they will see His face, and His name will be written on their foreheads. I just got to stop right here. I just got to stop and tell you this. And their names will be written where? On our foreheads. You know this. If you know anything about the Word of God and if you know anything about the end, then in the end, the Antichrist will rise up. The Antichrist, opposing Christ, will rise up. And when he rises up, He will force a system upon this earth that will force everyone, large and small, young and old, no matter who you are, force everyone to take his mark on the back of their right hand or their foreheads in order to do any business on this earth. If you cannot see in the Word of God, if you cannot see the power of his truth, the power and the realities of his truth, see, you were created by God for his purpose, for his glory. And he longs with all of his heart, with everything that's in him, more than we could ever long for someone on this earth. He longs for you to have his name written on your forehead. He longs for that day. His heart weeps when we don't receive the gift that he's given us, because he longs for the day that he can put his name on your forehead. And it breaks his heart to think that there will be millions, billions of people who will receive a different mark, one that never belonged to them in the first place. There will be no night there and no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them and they will reign forever and ever. Verse 6, look at this. Then the angel said to me, "Everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God who inspires his prophets has sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon." Now don't miss this. Look at verse 7. Jesus said, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book." Jesus is saying, happy are those who guard and protect this truth. Blessed, the same word, Makarios. Blessed, happy are those who protect the truth. You may be persecuted for protecting this truth, but you're going to be happy about it. People may say things about you for protecting this truth, but you're going to be happy about it. People may criticize us as a church for standing up and protecting this truth, but I'm happy about it. We will not back down. We will not settle for anything less than the truth of God's word. Amen? That's who we are. It's who he created us to be. Satan doesn't want us to believe in the realities of heaven, because that's exactly what he stole from us in the Garden of Eden. He stole the realities of heaven. Before the fall, Eden was heaven. Heaven on earth. Everything that God desired, he brought down and created here on this earth. And then Satan came in and slithered in and stole it with a lie. And this very day, he continues to try to steal the realities of heaven from us with a lie. Are you listening today? The only reason we don't have what God desires us to have is because some way, somehow in us, we still believe some form of that lie. And we fight with it every day. The reality is that we can have everything he's promised for us to have right here and right now. Why would Jesus tell us to pray that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth if it couldn't happen? He wouldn't do that to us. It can happen. And we just gave testimonies of it today, of it happening. Every sickness, every disease, every torment from the enemy can be broken. Every chain can be broken. Every stronghold that the enemy has erected can be torn down in the name of Jesus, because the realities of heaven are real. And you can have it, and I can have it, and we can have it. The reality of heaven is a reminder of what God's original purpose was for us in this present world. Keeping the future life central to our paradigm gives us a constant reminder of what life on earth ought to be like. Full of love, full of goodness, full of joy, full of purpose. It inspires us to strive for that ideal in the here and now, and guards us from complacency and indifference. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. It's a real place, and you can have it right here, right now. Amen? Heaven is full of royalty. It's rust-free, and it's real. So here's what I want to do today as we end this service. I want you to, if you have struggled, you've struggled with this thought, you've struggled maybe with just the realities of heaven, I want you to stand. If there's been questions in your mind about the realities of heaven, I want you to stand. It's okay. Stand. We just want to pray with you. We want to break the lies of the enemy. If you've struggled with self-esteem, with believing that you are who God said you are, who He created you to be, I want you to stand right now. Amen. All right. I want to pray for all of those who are standing right now. If you're not standing, just raise your hands and pray for them. Reach out toward them that are standing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the truth of your word. Your word is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Father. And I thank you in the name of Jesus that it performs everything you desire to perform in the name of Jesus. It accomplishes everything that you desire it to accomplish, Father. And in Jesus' name, I pray you break every chain right now. Break every lie that the enemy has ever spoken over every person that's standing in this place. Break every lie, Father, in the name of Jesus. Set them free, Father, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Set them free in their hearts and in their minds right now, Lord. I pray, God, that every morning when they wake up, they set their sights on the realities of heaven and on who you created them to be, that they see themselves through your eyes, Father, exactly as you desire for them to see them. Father, I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.